listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is time to study the daily New Testament reading. Our guest pastor joining us by phone this morning, the Reverend Ray Angerman from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Shalimar, Florida. Good morning, Pastor Angerman.
Good morning. I hear it's cold in St. Louis.
It's not too bad today. It has been cold. It's about 48 here in St. Louis, so not much cooler than it is in Shalimar, Florida today. But we do have some snow on the way, it sounds like.
Well, you know, we have snow all the time. It's called white sandy beaches of Northwest Florida. So we always tease all the time. We can build a summer snowman all the time in Florida.
That's right. That's right. I remember my days in Central Florida, South Central Florida, and White Christmas there was the white sands on the beach there in Fort DeSoto. So.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, those were a little bit warmer Christmases. Well, tell us about your congregation, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Shalimar, Florida.
Well, when you say Shalimar, it's a suburb of Fort Walton Beach, and Fort Walton Beach is right down the road from Destin, Florida. We have a lot of snowbirds in town right now because we call them our winter visitors, flock down. The beaches are just gorgeous. They're snowy white. The primary, income for the area would be Eglin Air Force Base, which is the largest landmass base in the United States, called Eglin. And they have the F-35s, the F-16s there. Then there's Hurlburt, where they have the gunships, and Hurlburt Air Force Base is also located near us. So we have a lot of military in our area. We have a lot of tourist industry in our area. And so we get snowbirds, and then we get a lot of summer visitors during the summer, and you'll see famous people, not so famous people, but it's just an exciting place to live. I've been at Good Shepherd now for 40 years, so I've been there for a while.
Wow, well, thanks be to God for your longevity there and service to the Lord and His people.
Oh, it's been a real blessing. They're wonderful people to work with, and I love our military people. My wife calls me a frustrated military chaplain. I'm not a chaplain, but she said, you should have been a chaplain, you know. So, because I just love our military guys, what they do for our country. We pray for them every Sunday. We have so many retired military in our congregation who have served from World War II to Vietnam, through the Desert Storm, to the Middle East wars that we fought in, and in Korea. So it's just an interesting place to live.
Well, thanks be to God for the ministry there of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Shalimar, Florida. Just outside, you said Fort Walton Beach, right?
Correct, yes.
Well, we are studying Romans chapter 1 today, verses 18 through 32. What would you like for us to know as we prepare to study this text?
Well, we missed Romans 1 through 17. I know you covered that, I think, yesterday.
Yesterday,
is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And wow, because that section has that wonderful verse in verse 16 and 17, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. And then 17, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, and as it is written, the just shall live by faith. That is where you ended yesterday, and we begin, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. And so we go from the gospel into the law at this moment with verse 18. And what a change. What a place to begin a study at verse 18. So it's just so important that you know where we've been to know where we're going with this scripture, I think.
All right, well, let's take a look. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32. We're studying today with Pastor Ray Angerman from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Shalimar, Florida. If you have a question or a comment along the way, give us a call or an email. The St. Louis number, 314-821-0850, or toll-free in North America, 1-800-730-2727. Our email address, kfuo@kfuo.org. All right, let's take a look. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world, in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of God for the glory of the immortal God, for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. So the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. Pastor?
Yes. I think it's very important. I think one of the things that we see in this whole verse that really just kind of jumps out at you, when we look at verse, they suppress the truth and unrighteousness. And that verse 18, we started at verse 18, and then as we come through this whole scripture, when we think about what they exchanged for the glory of the immortal God, it's so important. They replaced it with another. In other words, in my sermonette that I did earlier, one of the things that we have to realize is that unbelievers don't want to accept the fact that God is the creator because they don't want to face up to the fact that they would have to be answerable to him. And I see that all the time when I witness to people. They refuse God as who he is. And as the beginning says, is that the truth is known to people because of his invisible attributes were clearly seen there without excuse. So we have this inner God placed within us. Not God, but we have this inner truth placed within us that we suppress. And God created us that way. You know, we're all a chip off the old block. From the Garden of Eden, we were created in the image of God. And how be it that we are sinners, that we have this fallen nature, there's still part of us that knows that there is a God. There's still part of us that, as he said, is without excuse when you look at the things that he has created. But we suppress that. And not only do we suppress that, and then he says we exchange or we replace what God has revealed to us with something else. And we see that on and on. And the Apostle Paul, when he was speaking to these people, the Greeks had Apollo, the Romans they had their eagle, the Egyptians, the bull, the Assyrians, the serpent. And Paul may be alluding to these gods, and not only did the heathen exchange the truth of God for a lie, but they also exchanged the blessings of God and his provision for, as we'll read on, the sexual fulfillment that is unnatural. And so when we reject God's revelation, it leads to idolatry, and idolatry leads to immorality. And at last, man just kind of plummets into the grossest perversion unimaginable. And we see that in our culture. We saw it then. And there's nothing really new that's happening. We talk about how bad things are in the world. They've always been bad. Ever since the fall, they've been bad.
There's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing new under the sun.
And there's nothing new under the sun. And the thought here is that the idolatry, you know, we say sometimes, you know, that people just don't know any better. Well, according to this text, they refused to know better. They suppressed God's self-revelation. And the whole key to this is that, you know, men justly deserve the consequences of God's wrath. And we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. There's none perfect, none of us. There's no distinction. And for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, there's none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:10 tells us the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. And we all are on the same boat. And as we get to the end of this section, you'll see that Paul not only talks about homosexuality, he talks about all kinds of other things that are going on, covetousness and murder and strife and deceit and all these other things, gossip. And we normally don't want to classify those along with homosexuality, but sin is sin. We're all sinners, and we justly deserve the consequences of our sin, which is the wrath of God. And I guess we look at our world, and it's always been like this. You know, I've got a bunch of friends that are non-doms, they call themselves. And we talk about this quite a bit, about the end of the world and what they're seeing, the things that are going on. And they always tell me, well, you know, things are looking really, really bad. And I says, you know, things always look really bad. And when we think about baby sacrifice, back in the Old Testament. We talk about the children of Israel that worship golden calves made with their hands. We haven't changed at all. Man has always been wicked, and man has always deserved the consequences of his sin, the wages of sin is death. But this whole exchange the glory of God for the immortal things that God has made, for images made to look like mortal man, birds and animals and reptiles, we're still doing that. Man hasn't changed a bit. That's why we need Jesus. And explaining that to the world is so important as pastors, that we preach law gospel, that we preach the wrath of God, but we also preach the gospel at the same time. But men have their excuses of why they're exempt from the wrath of God. You can make a list of what people really tell you about why they're exempt from the wrath of God. I've heard them all. I've heard everyone's excuse of why they shouldn't be judged. So it's really kind of nothing new under the sun.
Right. We can come up with a thousand excuses, but none of them compare to the Word of God that stands forever. Verse 19, "For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse."
What does that say to you?
Well, just what we were saying, that we come up with lots of excuses, but we are without excuse. God's natural laws revealed in creation around us. His eternal power is demonstrated as well.
You know, I've said this several times in some of the sermons that I've given, and it's this, that when people try to give an excuse for why they don't believe in God, and I talk about this verse, about how can you explain your creation apart from God, their argument of evolution is so weak. It is so weak. And I say, well, where did this come from? Where did that come from? Where did life begin? And it's always just amazed me at what people will try to believe, and it takes more faith to believe, to disbelieve in God, than it is to believe in God. And for me, I just find it so amazing. And we know that the Holy Spirit has to call people to faith by the Word of God. And you can't know Jesus through natural revelation, but you know that there is a God through natural revelation, that God created all these things, and the Word of God shows us who he is. And when Paul was speaking in the book of Acts, they were worshiping an unknown God. But internally, we were created to worship. And man will worship something. And a lot of times I see people worshiping, believe it or not, themselves. And they don't call it self-worship, but it's all about me. They don't ask the question, why am I here? They ask the question, what do I want to do today? It's all about me. And it goes back to the Garden of Eden, because we see the middle letter of the word sin is I. The middle letter of the word pride is I. The middle letter of the word Lucifer is I. And that's why we become so self-centered. And from the Garden of Eden, we turned inwards. And that's why Jesus said, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. I will give you the purpose for living. I will give you the direction for your life if you'll follow me. And we would rather follow our own selves. And that's why I say on Sunday mornings, people would rather follow themselves and the things they want to do rather than follow the Lord Jesus to his house, to worship him for what he has given them and what he means to them, life everlasting. And can't get any better than that. Can't get any better than that.
Verse 41 or 21, "For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things." But just about a minute here, Pastor. Your thoughts on these three verses?
Well, I think, again, that what you're seeing here is man's inward, turning inward and into himself, and that they are worshiping like the Greeks, Apollo, the Romans, the eagle, and and they have made gods in their image, and they worship the creature rather than the creator. And the word exchange, instead of worshiping God who made man in his own image, they made their own gods in their image and worship them. They've rejected God's revelation about himself and replaced it with another. And the unbeliever's problem is not the sparsity of the revelation, but they suppress it. And Paul describes the heathen as confines God's revelation into their own making, their own thinking, and putting it into a box, suppressing the truth and unrighteousness. And so we have this, and when that happens, they think they're wise. Look, we've got it all figured out. But then they become fools. And became futile in their thoughts and foolish in their hearts, and their hearts were darkened. And it kind of spirals down, if you will. And we'll see that as we get through this text about the spiraling down and the word foolish hearts and darkened. Wow, where does that take us? Well, it takes us to evil. That's where it goes. We're talking spiritual warfare here. And because they did not glorify God, nor were they thankful to him and recognized him as their creator.
We are studying the Daily New Testament reading with Pastor Ray Engerman from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Chalamar, Florida. We're in Romans chapter 1 today, verses 18 through 32. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue studying. We'll pick up at verse 24. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call, 1-800-730-2727, toll-free in North America, or the St. Louis number, 314-821-0850. Email address, kfuo@kfuo.org. We'll be back in just a minute.
Here's a pretty little baby.
Look in the manger, look in the manger, look in the manger.
In one branch of the Christian Church, the Eastern Orthodox family, the story of the Magi and the story of Jesus' baptism are usually told together in early January. We'll do some of the same on the next Sing for Joy. I hope you'll join us.
Sundays at noon on KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Trust Worldwide KFUO for sacred music of the church every night of the year. Weeknights after evening prayer, you can hear sacred music on KFUO in St. Louis, streaming online at kfuo.org. You can hear the difference with our online stream in high-quality stereo, whether you listen on your smartphone, Wi-Fi radio, or laptop, as well as your business or home computers. Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news, trusted for more than 90 years.
You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. We are studying the Word of God with Pastor Ray Engerman from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Chalamar, Florida today. We're in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32. Pastor, are we ready to go on to the next section?
Yeah, let's go.
All right, here we go. Verse 24, therefore God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. God gave them up in their lusts of their hearts to impurity and dishonoring of their bodies among themselves. Your thoughts here, Pastor?
Well, you repeated it twice. God gave them up.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? And God gave them over. I guess the key word here is that the rejection of the heathen or the non-believer, when they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, God gave them what they wanted. They rejected, you know, what was clearly taught about God, and God gave men over to their perversion, their idolatry, immorality, and they're getting exactly what they wanted or what they deserved, and they receive the deep penalty of their error. And so what an awesome thing. I mean, when you think about it, hell is getting exactly what we want. It kind of sounds ominous, but we are not robots of God, you know. We do, and I don't want to get into to Luther's book on the free will, but we do have a free will, and we do can receive the due penalty of our era. And God is a just God, and he's just in condemning the heathen. And the Apostle Paul talks a lot about that. In fact, we talk about God's grace, and God's grace is so pure and wonderful, and his love is so marvelous. But not all people will be saved. And earlier we had talked about the excuses that people give for not believing. I don't believe God exists, and if God doesn't exist, I don't have to obey his law, and therefore he's not around to judge me, therefore my sin will not condemn me. It's a very popular argument with people. And as we read, the fool says there is no God in Psalms 14, and it may sound fashionable to say that. A lot of people want to say that, but one day you will stand before him, and he will sentence you to hell that's very, very real. And he's a very, very real God. And when the judge, you stand before the judge, and if you exchange, you know, you're not the one that is in the position to set your own sentence. He is the judge, and you're standing before him. And therefore, when he asks you, do you think you're guilty? If you say, no, I don't think I'm guilty, he's not going to say, well, I agree with you. He's the judge, and he's the one that will set your sentence. And one day we will have to stand before him. Thanks be to God for Jesus, because that's where we receive the forgiveness of sin and our righteousness, where he has paid for the price for our sins, because we all stand condemned. You know, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It's us too. And it's me. But thanks be to God for my Savior Jesus, who has saved me from my sins. But going back to this whole section in here, it is people getting God giving them up. And what does that mean to you when you hear those words?
I'm not sure. You know, God gave them up. To what degree were they given up? They were permitted to, or they were cut off from. I'm not sure.
Well, you know, so often God gave them their heart's desire, resulting in their immorality. And the people were the ones to exchange the truth of God for a lie. And the demonstration of God's anger towards the wicked, and it was that, you know, God just turned them over. He says, okay, if this is what you want, they refused to acknowledge him. They suppressed his truth. They did shameful acts. And so God says, if that's exactly what you want, I'm not going to stop you from that. I'm not going to strike you down. He could strike people down if he wanted to. He's God. But he's giving men what they want, which turns out to be condemnation, you know. And so often, if you remember the rich man from Sheol concerning his lost relatives in Luke 16, they said, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they listen to or be persuaded if someone rises from the dead. You know, God has given us everything we need in his word. And we are to proclaim the good news of the gospel, to be the light in this dark world in which we live in. But when someone doesn't respond to the revelation of God's word, and they reject God's word, then God gives them exactly what they want. And I don't want to say God punishes sin with sin, but it looks like that's what we're seeing here. If the sin of unbelief results in the sin of immorality, then the morality of that person, you know, unless they repent, it is so important that we preach law and we preach gospel, that we do not compromise the gospel, do not compromise the law, first off, that we call sin a sin. And we're so politically correct in some churches. I hope I'm not talking about Missouri Synod churches, but we're so politically correct in some churches that we do not call sin a sin. Living together before marriage is a sin. It's called fornication. Homosexuality is a sin. Gossip is a sin. And when we lust after things of this world, when we break the Ten Commandments, when we want that of our neighbor, and so often we shrink back because we're going to get to the end of this verse in a moment if I quit talking. But we covet. We don't talk about coveting and how that drives our country, how that drives our economy, how that drives our personal budgets, how it drives our congregation at times when we covet. We want to be like that church. We want what they have. And but sin is sin, and we repent of our sins, and we look at this. If we don't, then God says, well, okay, I'll give you what you want. And it's not going to be what you think. And I see our Heavenly Father, and sometimes he gives us like the prodigal son. If you remember the story, the father gave the youngest son what he wanted. But the whole point of that story is that, it was, you know, the father always stood on the porch looking out the window for his son to return. The door was always open to him. Doesn't mean he gave up on him. But when he gave them over, it wasn't like he gave up. He doesn't give up on people. God wishes for them to perish, but all come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. All come, go to heaven. So I see in this text, even the gospel in this, because God could just eliminate people, annihilate them if he wanted to. He has the power to do that, but he doesn't. And hopes that once you get what you got, maybe you'll turn around and say, well, you know, this wasn't exactly what I thought it was, and come back to your senses like the prodigal son and come back to the truth of God's word.
And they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Worshipping the creature, the created, rather than the creator. That's really what sin and idolatry is all around, right?
Amen. That's right. And it could be anything. I mean, if you exchange, look, I love bike riding. I used to ride 10 speeds all the time. I'm 62 now, so I don't do a whole lot of that like I used to. But we used to take bike trips, and the youth group would go on long bike trips. We would go 60, 70, 80, 90 miles a day when was common. But I see a lot of bike teams ride on Sunday mornings when I'm going to church. That's their little church. It's riding bikes. Anything that's not God, anything you exchange for God in your life, it could be your family, seriously. It could be other people. It could be material things. A lot of people worship. They always say, show me your checkbook, and I can tell you who your God is. So it could be anything. The hobbies that you have, the car that you drive could be your cult, could be your God. So Sunday morning I get up and I wash my car, I wax my car, vacuum my car, my car is my car. And whatever you exchange for God, the created, everything is created except for the creator. And that's he, and we worship him, not the things he created.
For this reason, verse 26, for this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions, for their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature, and the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. Now, I think you referenced this earlier as well in our conversation.
Mm-hmm. That when men reject God's word, men justly deserve the consequences of God's eternal wrath. And the wrath of God is not merely in the future, it's also in the present. Men face the consequences for their sins in eternity, true, but also they face the consequences of their sins in the present. I know a lot of people who abuse, and we think about all things in moderation. I love a good beer, I love a good wine, I even love a good scotch. But I'm not an alcoholic. I don't abuse my liver. And if I take something and abuse it here on this earth to the point of overabundance, not all things in moderation, and therefore, and I get problems with my liver or become an alcoholic and lose my job or beat my wife or whatever it is, then what happens is that I am paying for the penalty of my sin in the present as well as maybe in the future if I lose my salvation. You know, I'm not saying that everyone who does these things are non-Christians, but it becomes your God and replaces your God. That could happen and then face the consequences for their sins, not only in eternity, but in the present. And And God, and I think Paul talks about it, this in his section, for the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godliness and the wickedness of men who suppress the truth. It's being revealed. And that's why God gives them up, because men rejected what was clearly evident about God, and he gave them over to idolatry, immorality, perversion, because they were practicing these things and are getting it all wrong. You know, it's just getting it all wrong. About all of this, and we see that, you know, we see that never before in the history of the United States has homosexuality been so glorified in the movies and our shows, and now in marriage. We can say things are getting worse, I guess, in some ways, because abortion in the 50s was not legalized, and then in the 2015, we have the legalization of homosexual marriage. And so we're calling sin okay. And that's what we're doing. We're rejecting God's word and opening the door to every kind of evil. And we see that manifested over and over again. And that men, and the Bible says, come up with ways in which they can create sin, it says in here. Okay. You know, and they're shameful. And they're receiving themselves the penalty of their error, which is due to them. And it's just, and I'll let you read on because I know we're running out of time.
Sure. Verse 28 through 32. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them.
Wow. I mean, when you read that in context of 2016, it's happening right now. All this is happening right now. Not that it didn't happen in the past, but even that last sentence we're just talking about, not only do they do the same, but they're also approval of those who practice them. And we see that in the Supreme Court decision for saying, okay, we approve of gay marriage, we approve of abortion, and we're knowing the righteous judgment of God, and those who practice such things deserve death. The wages of sin is death. And I think it's so important that we don't do justice when we call homosexuality, we should call homosexuality what it is. It is it's a condition. It's not just a condition, but it's an act. It's viewed in the scriptures as a sinful practice, which becomes a way of life. And when we say, when we shy away from calling sin a sin, then what happens to people is we excuse it. And the most cruel and inhumane thing we can do is to deny sin. To deny that, let's say, homosexuality, premarital sex, all these abortion, that it's okay, that it's, you know, it could be a sin or it may not be a sin. It may not be a sin for you, or it was a sin back then, but not a sin now. When we say things like that, we are the ones that are sinning in our words, and I hear this from. And I saw an article in a magazine just 2 days ago about a couple of denominations that were standing before an abortion clinic that were giving thanks to God for abortion providers, and that women had the freedom to have abortions. And I just couldn't believe it. I said, have we come to this? Really, have we come to this? We're calling sin okay. What does God think about this? What did we exchange the truth of God for? A lie. That's what we've done. And we cannot free people from sin if we call sin good. And scripture is scripture. And we stand on the word of God alone. When we start compromising the word of God and we start interpreting it in a biblical correctness of the day that we live in, then will we not be held accountable as pastors for shrinking back and not telling the truth of scripture? And I see this in here. And again, God gave them up. And we see what happened. The Apostle Paul was talking about his time. You got to think about this. When the Apostle Paul says that men were leaving, verse 27, men were leaving the natural use of women and burned in their lust for one another, committing indecent and shameful acts with each other, and women doing the same thing. That was going on during Paul's day. And we kind of look at this as saying, well, you know, things have gotten bad. Well, they were bad back then, again.
With just about 30 seconds to wrap up, Pastor, any final thought in our last 30 seconds here?
Well, I would like to say that the gospel that was rediscovered by Luther at the start of the Reformation is that we as Christians have been given the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have, when we were baptized, the Lord washed away our sins, and he forgave us our sins. When we take the Lord's Supper and his body and blood shed for us on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, our justification, our guilt was taken away by Jesus. Every Sunday should be a reformation for Christians. We should look at every day as a new start. As Luther said, every time you take a shower, you should remember your baptism and that you have been forgiven. And we need to continue to proclaim the gospel to a world that is so lost in the darkness. And there is hope, because Jesus is still on the throne. He's still Lord of the church, and the Word of God is still powerful, and the Holy Spirit is still at work. So we have a lot to be thankful for and joyful about.
Well, thanks be to God for his good word and good news of Jesus. Thanks for bringing us to that today and bringing that to us today, Pastor Engerman. Thanks for being our guest pastor, helping us study.
Thank you so much for having me.
God bless you and all the saints at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Shalimar, Florida. Coming up in just a little bit, Creation Club with Pastor Worth. Marilyn, thanks for hanging on the line. Sorry we didn't get to your question today, but thanks for listening and hanging in there. Creation Club up next on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.